This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season here, $30 million in guaranteed prizes also here. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake. It means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor. Pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers. $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Still debating whether or not I want to enter the Grandissimo. $100,000, a drop in the bucket personally, so maybe I would like to enter the contest. We'll see if that's the case. I haven't decided whether or not I want to do it. Stormy and I will, I think, nail down over the next couple of days. She's off for the next three shows. When we go into the contest, I think we settled on for sure a million and then one survivor, maybe two. We'll find out if that's going to be the case. But either way, we'll have our show entries as usual. The difference will be how many we will have. I think we're going to go for multiple survivors, but we'll nail that down coming up in the next couple of days. Speaking of football, though, we've been doing it here on this program the entire time. We're jetting around America, visiting every single training camp site. Well, let's hop in the car and stop at our next spot in the Motor City.
Join Stormy and JVT as they go on the Money Moves NFL training camp tour.
The Lions are our team today out in Michigan. A fascinating group coming off of a 9-win season in 2025. Expectations are high. Win total for the Lions at 10.5. Division win total at 3.5, shaded to the under at $1.55. 14-1 are thereabouts to have the most wins in the National Football League. 150-1 to have the fewest wins, and a $2.20 favorite to make the playoffs. In the NFC North, you're getting +170 on them to win the division, +930 to win the conference. Super Bowl at 19-1. Your leading MVP candidate, Jared Goff at 35-1, and coach of the year, Dan Campbell at 25-1. I don't think there's really a question last year for a team that has thoughts of being a contender, only winning 9 games a season ago, is going to be considered a disappointment this year. With some key additions, not a ton, expectation still is going to be for this group, playoffs, Super Bowl contention, and the like. Key additions for this group, Isaiah Pacheco comes in to replace David Montgomery, Cade Mays at center, who we'll get to. Larry Borum comes in to add some depth along the offensive line, DJ Wanham along the defensive line as well. Alex Anzalone, and David Montgomery out the door, mentioned Montgomery as well. But these losses for them defensively, we will add to and quantify for you coming up in a little bit. But I wanted to focus on the offense because the offensive line, I think, is going to be the real question. You know, it's funny. You come in and you replace your offensive coordinator from a season ago. Drew Petzing comes in now. We're going to see him for the first time this preseason as a play caller. But what I find very interesting is, statistically, if I were to show you what the Lions did overall a season ago, you would ask, why do you need a new offensive coordinator? They placed pretty well in a lot of different metrics. If you looked at it overall, 5th in expected points added per pass, 6th in expected points added per play, 12th in overall success rate. But that delta between your EPA per play and the success rate, well, that shows that you're not as successful, to use the term, down to down, getting the percentage of yards that you need to stay on track as an offense, generally relying on some explosive plays or some explosivity with your offense and not usually being consistent on a down to down basis. And a lot of that had to do with what I think should be the biggest topic for this team. And I'm not, I think, a rare person thinking this. I think a lot of people do if you're following the group. The offensive line for the Lions. Last year wasn't great. They finished 20th in adjusted line yards per carry at 4.27. They finished 13th in rush yards per game at 120.1, which generally is fine. But when you're the Lions, an offense that is built around their rushing game as it has been under Dan Campbell, that's not good enough at 120 yards per game. And they were 25th in expected points added per rush. They were one of the least efficient rushing offenses in the NFL. So how do you handle improving this offensive line in this running game? Well, you address it in free agency. You address it in the draft. In the draft, they went out there, first-round pick, Blake Miller, who is projected to start at right tackle. Then you go out and you help along the offensive line with getting Cade Mays. Problem with Cade Mays is a wrist injury that is going to keep him out for the foreseeable future. It's a big blow for this Lions group along an offensive line that needed to desperately improve. Jared Goff, while the offense in general was pretty good, performed in spite of this offensive line for the most part, pressured on 36% of his dropbacks last season. So the offensive line play performing poorly, not only in the run game, but the passing attack as well, specifically when it comes to pass pro. And Goff is just not a quarterback. And Heumann says this all the time. I invoked this yesterday. Generally, quarterbacks aren't going to perform well under pressure, but some quarterbacks handle pressure better than others. Some people just handle pressure better than others. Jared Goff, not a guy that you want to be pressured. 50% completion rate last year when he was under pressure. Yards per attempt at 7 flat, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And for a guy that does such a good job of not putting the ball in danger, his turnover worthy play rate spiked to 3.4% when he was under pressure. This offensive line needs to be better. But on paper, you're looking at a rookie starting at right tackle, a backup center. That's going to be a problem for this group, and you do wonder how much better they're going to be along this offensive line. The other question is, defensively, what are we going to continue looking at with this group? Will they continue their descent down the rankings overall of defense? You go back to a couple of years ago, they were a top 10 team in terms of expected points added per play. Last year, they finished 13th. So now, with Alex Anzalone, second in tackles, out the door, and a pass rush that has some real questions as to where it is going to come from, you do wonder what this is going to look like for Detroit as well. Second guy on the team in terms of pressures, Al-Qadeen Muhammad, 53 pressures, 11 sacks. He's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers along with Anzalone. If you look at this overall, and think about that, he was second on the team, Muhammad was, in total pressures with 53. Aiden Hutchinson led the team with 100. So there's a pretty stark drop-off when you're looking after Hutchinson of where this pass rush is going to come from. And so it all kind of leads to a bunch of other questions, right? And by the way, no other Lions pass rusher had more than 30 pressures last season. So I think a lot of the expectation for the Detroit Lions coming into this year is built and baked into a schedule that is the easiest in the National Football League. They have a schedule that by opponent strength of record is the easiest. Are we overvaluing this Lions team because of the expectation that they're going to be able to romp through this schedule? We saw the New England Patriots beat the crap out of a really easy schedule last season. It got them to the playoffs. Eventually, they got to the Super Bowl. You see the start of this season for the Lions. You're home against the Saints team that is starting a second-year quarterback in Tyler Shuck and maybe is going to be one of those teams with some upward trajectory, but still, you have some questions about in general. Maybe you start the season 1-0. You got to go to the Buffalo Bills to start the season, or excuse me, to week 2, your first road game of the season. Jets, Panthers, Cardinals going into the bye seems like a generally manageable schedule, and all the way through that matchup against the Dolphins in week 9, you should be able to stack up some victories against some of the bottom dwellers of the National Football League. In the first 9 weeks, you get two of the teams with the lowest win totals in the NFL and the Dolphins and the Cardinals. You get a Panthers team that seems relatively weak. The Jets are down there as well. After that, maybe you start to see this team take some lumps. And this generally comes to me with, okay, how do we handle this from a betting standpoint? A lot of people are in on the Lions, 10.5 over minus 115. And it's one of those things where I understand it and I see where you're coming from. But I do have some questions as to where this Lions team is going to be on defense. And that, to me, is what gives me pause on really buying in. Look, the NFC North should be pretty good. The Chicago Bears do have a lot of those indicators that they're going to take a step back. And we'll talk about the soon-to-be Indiana Bears coming up in a few days when we continue our training camp tour. But those are going to be some difficult matchups. What if I'm wrong about the Minnesota Vikings? I espoused yesterday that I think Minnesota is probably going to be one of those teams that I believe struggles and maybe is a little overvalued because there's this blind belief that KOC is going to be able to turn around Kyler Murray and this defense is going to continue to perform at an extremely high level. But what if they're good? What if I'm wrong? What if Kyler Murray does turn his career around and he is the next, whatever you want to call him, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, a guy who goes to a different system and all of a sudden finds a peak of his powers in a new offense? Then those two games in divisional play become a little bit more difficult as well. And then, of course, we know how competent the Green Bay Packers are going to be. If the Lions aren't as good as they can potentially be on defense, and if this offensive line is going to be an issue and they're not going to get the same pop from this running game that they have in the first few years under Campbell, I can see a scenario in which, look, man, 10.5 seems kind of rich, considering this easy schedule. The skill positions are awesome, as we know. Amon-Ra St. Brown last year, 117 receptions, 1,401 yards, 11 touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs, 320 touches, 1,800 total yards from scrimmage, 18 rushing and receiving touchdowns, and he averaged nearly 6 yards every time he touched the ball. You understand how good they can be, how good Goff is, but I do find myself pausing a little bit when you match it up with the expectations that the market has thrust upon this team. And I also think there seems to potentially be this impact, and we're seeing it with some of the other teams that are near the top or bottom, however you want to look at it, in terms of strength of schedule. The New England Patriots did such a good job in beating up on a very easy schedule that maybe we're putting too much into the strength of schedule, that maybe everything we've talked about with this team is already baked into this number, and that it's actually worth looking at it under 10.5, because again, 10 wins can still be a playoff type season. Hell, 10 wins could still win the NFC North. but the really high expectations, I think Stormy's got some high expectations for the Lions this year, especially with the injury to Mays at center. I find myself just a little bit kind of wanting to push back on what that's going to be here. So season-long bets potentially under 10.5. I do, though, totally buy into, because they're still going to be good on offense. It's, again, the offensive line and the defense, it might be some issues here. Jahmyr Gibbs, looking at him for an offensive player of the year, that's going to be a very good option for you. Again, if he can get near 2,000 total yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns, as he nearly did a season ago, that is going to be something that is going to put you in contention for that award. We talked about the ripple effects of a potential suspension for Puka Nacua the other day, or a potential injury that either hampers him to start the year or causes him to miss a game, as well as the suspension. It opens the door a little bit for some of these guys that are priced in this market a little bit further behind him. And of the two skill position giants, we'll call them, I do think I'd rather have a piece of Gibbs just because he does so much, both rushing and receiving, as opposed to Amon Ross St. Brown, who is a fantastic player in his own right, but Gibbs seems to be a leading candidate, and the odds would reflect that too for Detroit. I think they're the rightful favorite in the division, but 10.5, I'd rather go under 10.5, and we'll see what exactly this offensive line looks like as we are looking at them heading into the 2026 season. Go to vc.com/subscribe. Check out everything we have to offer too, by the way. If you like these training camp tours, we are posting them up on the VSiN Watch app, which you can use, of course, to watch all of these programs, as well as some of the dedicated segments that we have up on the network all throughout the day. VSiN.com, though, is the spot for a lot of the great content that we have up there, including some of the podcasts that we have. That would be like First Strike, for example. Dave Ross, America's hero, is going to join us on the other side. We got to talk about UFC 330. Interesting main event. Can there be an upset on this card? We'll find out what Dave thinks when we return.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So I think we have established a very good relationship with our audience. For the most part, I would say we're loved, adored for the most part. You know, everybody that comes by says hi, like to give hugs, kiss babies, shake hands. So we have this Field of Dreams game coming up later today, and this actually works nicely with Dave Ross, who's with us on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll talk about UFC 330 coming up here in a little bit. I believe Mackenzie Dern's the only person that's fighting on this card. I guess there's other ones. But Dave, the reason why I bring this up is obviously you can guess what the answer is to the question, has Jonathan Von Tobel seen Field of Dreams? I'll let you answer it for me. Have I seen Field of Dreams?
Absolutely not. We know the JVT criteria. John, I was thinking about you today because somebody posted from Rocky 3,
okay,
Thunderlips, the ultimate male against the ultimate meatball, Rocky. And I thought, has Jonathan even seen this movie? Has he even seen this classic, this cinema, this dynamic movie? I know you hated the original Rocky. I have so many bones to pick with you about movies that were created before you were born. You're missing some great cinema, Jonathan.
So I bring this up because to the point of me missing cinema, I'm sure you have seen this. Have you seen, because of this Field of Dream games, this list of top 30 best baseball movies is going around on social media. Number one is something called The Pride of the Yankees, which I have no idea what that is or what that means or what it's about. Of the 30 of these baseball movies, I will answer our audience because I put this out there. I have seen three of them. I have seen Moneyball, and I have seen actually, I don't even know if the other ones I have seen. Fever Pitch, and that's it, actually. Oh, The Sandlot. There we go. I've seen those three. That's about it. And I would contend that Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac should be on that list, but I don't know what is going on with this baseball list at all. And I'm not big on Field of Dreams, but we'll talk about that game coming up here in a little bit. I just figured it would get in your craw a little bit here with this. What do you got?
It does, but Jonathan, all I ask out of all those movies, just watch Bull Durham for me. That's the only one you have to watch. I guarantee you Jensen Lewis, our aficionado here in the network when it comes to Major League Baseball, would concur that as long as you watch Bull Durham, I'll let all the other ones slide.
Okay, let's see. The Bulls minor league baseball team, one asset no one other can claim, a poetry-loving groupie named Annie Savoy. As the team season begins, Annie selects brash new recruit, Ebby Calvin LaLouche, whom see Christians nuke to inspire with the religion of baseball. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, this sounds terrible, but I'll give it a shot. All right. Some would say that the UFC card this weekend sounds terrible. Maybe not a lot of depth to it. We got a lot of heavy favorites on the card as well. But let's start at the top. A name that I think a lot of people would recognize, I do personally, although I've watched a little bit more MMA, I think, than your average person, of course, Islam Makhachev. He's in your $4 favorite against Ian Machado Gary. So what are we doing here? Can Makhachev be upended? How are we going to bet this main event?
Well, Jonathan, he really is one of those guys you could put on the short list for pound, right? Right now. And I know that that list is ever changing, certainly in the UFC. And it really is to the eye of the beholder. And sometimes I think Makhachev, the greatness gets almost diminished a little bit because he's run through so many guys. But remember, this was a lower weight class that he was doing that up. And now when you go up to 170 here as the champion and you go up against a bigger guy in Ian Machado Gary, I don't want this comparison to be misconstrued. But there are some John Jones similarities to what even Ian Machado Gary can do, meaning the length that a guy like John Jones used to employ with the leg kicks to keep people at bay, especially the wrestlers back when John was a light heavyweight champion against the guys like Daniel Cormier that wanted to look for the takedown. Makhachev is going to want to do that with Machado Gary. He's not going to want to stand in striking range where the longer guy, Gary, would have some built-in advantages. So to me, this has got kind of one of those stalemate fights that kind of has the making of one that might go deep into the night, potentially to all five rounds. Look, I think Makhachev is the likely victor in this fight. He should be the favorite. He should not be an almost $4 betting favorite in my mind. If you're going to play the side, to me, it's a live dog. It would be dog or pass. I have passed so far on it. I did not pass on the over 4.5. Laid a little bit of juice there at minus $1.70. If you want to get that closer down to about $1.10, $1.20, you can play it to go the distance. I don't see a lot of finishing potential. Even if Makhachev gets Gary down to the ground here, Jonathan, I think Ian is smart enough, intelligently can defend off of his back and get to the, you know, wall walking, get back to the octagon side and get back up. I think we had the proximity probably to go all five here in that probability. I do like the over 4.5. It can get dicey. We've seen Gary tire, at least in the Carlos Protest fight. So maybe those last 2.5 minutes might get squirrely. If you don't want to sweat that last out, that 2.5 minutes, play the over 4.5 minus $1.70. But again, I do think if you want to look to a side, it's dog or pass for me.
If you like the analysis there from Dave, check out First Strike, one of the many podcasts in the VSiN podcast family, wherever you get your podcasts. He and Rob Moreno doing a fantastic job over there breaking down these MMA cards every week. All right, let's talk about the co-main. Women's strawweight title bout. Mackenzie Dern, Jillian Robertson are going to pose one another. Dern is about a $2 favorite, $2.45, depending on where you look. How are we going to handle this one?
Here's what I love about our network, Jonathan. And again, shout out to the great Lou Finicaro. I'm going to have him on my program as I do every Friday. And Rob and I had Reed Kuhn on this week. And Reed is really the father of analytics when it comes to MMA. It goes back over a decade. He's written a book called Fightnomics. And I had my thoughts on this fight months ago. So did Rob. And we discussed it on First Strike almost all summer long. And then I do hear differing points from people that I really respect. And those two guys in the space that I just mentioned are two of them. And they're almost on opposite sides too. I really like the dog side here in Jillian Robertson, and I'll tell you why. We know, and you know, Mackenzie Dern is arguably the greatest BJJ practitioner that we have, men or women. You can make the argument she's as good as anybody. Like Ronda Rousey was with judo back when she was champion. That's what Mackenzie Dern is to Brazilian jiu-jitsu when she gets the fight down to the ground. Here's the irony in this fight. Jillian Robertson wants the fight to go down to the ground too, and she is no slouch in her own right on the ground. And she is a submission artist as well. So what sometimes happens in those situations, JVT, is I can go back to, say, Colby Covington against Kamaru Usman when Usman was champion. And all we wanted to see was those two guys grapple because they were the two best wrestlers at the time fighting each other 170 pounds. What did we get? Five rounds of stand-up, right? I don't know that we'll get five rounds of stand-up here. I think eventually it will go down to the ground. That's what everybody wants to see. But it might stay standing a little bit more than people think. And ironically, the numbers actually bear it out to Mackenzie Dern on the hands. I still don't see it that way. She's an awkward striker. She has gotten better as time has gone on. But I can go back to say that Marina Rodriguez fight, where she looked like fish out of water when she was standing there with a girl like Rodriguez. I don't think she wants to fight that style against Jillian Robertson. And if, when the fight goes down to the ground, Robertson is a D-A-double-G dog. I mean, she is tough as nails. McKenzie's going to look for submissions, and she doesn't mind if it's off her back and if she is Robertson inside of her guard. That's how proficient she is in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But I can see her getting marked up. I see elbows coming from the top from Jillian Robertson. And I'll tell you this, there's two props that I really like, JVT. One at Circa that I saw today, 16-1 on Robertson via sub. Mm-hmm. If you like the dog, I don't think this is going to go all five. My favorite play is the under at plus $1.40 because Dern has got a very good chance of submitting Jillian Robertson. But if it goes the other way, that submission could come the other style. 16-1, and Robertson is on record saying, if I can submit her, Jonathan, then that would be the best scalp on my cap that I can have in my career. She's looking for it. But 12-1 for the KO prop for Robertson's not bad either. You find it around 6-1 inside the distance. I like the dog side here. I really think she's going to touch her up on the ground, and I don't think Mackenzie Dern's going to like it at all.
VSiN by the Books host Dave Ross with us discussing the UFC 330 card coming up this weekend. All right, so co-main and main in the books. Let's go to what everybody is going to be watching come Saturday night. Vicente Luque taking on Trayshawn Gore. What are we doing with this middleweight bout right after the early prelims? Luque's about an even money dog here.
I can sense your sarcasm, Jonathan. That's why I love you. You're right. This will not be one of the hottest tickets on the card that we're going to get with Trayshawn Gore against Vicente Luque. I do like the Luque side. I've been burned by him in the past, and I kind of thought maybe his career was over. I know Gore's been looking better in his last couple times out here, but I really think Luque's got more ways to win the fight. And I do think early in the fight is a good possibility for the older guy here in Vicente. I don't know that he wants to get paid by the minute anymore. I know as I get a little bit older here, Jonathan, I like to get my work done and get out. So I could see that coming from Luque. If you want to look to an under, there could be finishing potential on both sides here. But you give me Luque, who's got more skill. He's a more skilled fighter than Trayshawn Gore. Just age is not an aside anymore. But I'll take the better pure striker and pure fighter in this instance in Luque. I got him at plus $1.05. I still think even money is an absolutely fair price to pay.
Before we get you out of here, is there a baseball movie that doesn't have Kevin Costner in it? Because I would assume he's like in every single one.
No. No, every NFL draft movie and every baseball movie in pre-2000 has to have Kevin Costner in it. It is by law.
What about Waterworld? I think I've seen that one. That was a pretty good one. All right, Dave, appreciate it, man.
Don't watch Waterworld. Terrible.
Okay, all right, appreciate it. Dave Ross again, VSiN by the Books, and the First Strike Podcast. Ian Rob Moreno doing an absolutely tremendous job over there. I like that. So we'll recap some of the best bits we had from some of our guests as well, and a bone to pick too. NFL preseason, we'll resume that. We've got some news and notes that are coming out with starters tomorrow and on Saturday, maybe some betting systems to go over as well when we return.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
NFL preseason is underway. We have football season around the corner in college. Football's back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start today. Sign up for the VSiN Pro subscription and get both of our NFL and college football betting guides, team previews, power ratings, proven betting system, best bets from VSiN, Sharpest Minds, and myself to help you bet football smarter all season long. You're also going to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections. Again, I will always say it. I think some of the most underrated stuff we have up on the website is the player prop stuff. And, of course, the new Major League Baseball player prop, Total Picks, 24/7 video, and more. Start today for just $9.99. If you're listening to me over on SiriusXM or any one of our terrestrial partners around the country, just $9. Throw it in there. See what we do for a month. If you like, sign on in a big deal. But you get everything we do. There is no limitation. So go to vsin.com/subscribe now. vsin.com/subscribe. Couple of score updates. Major League Baseball, we have some day games that are currently underway. We have later games as well. We'll get to the Field of Dream games coming up here in a little bit. I guess people care about the Field of Dreams aspect of that. Let's go out to Miami, where this thing escalated pretty quickly. Pirates up on top in the ninth inning, 13-0 over the Miami Marlins. Money line off the board if you want to lay 13.5 plus 395. But Pirates taking care of business today on the road. Cleveland on the road against Detroit. They are trailing by 3 runs. Tigers in the ninth as well. 3.5 is a total here. -2.5 on the run line. Cincinnati Reds late in this contest as well. Bottom of the seventh inning, they are up 9-5. Moneyline price -2,900. Total 15.5. Shaded to the over at -123. Mariners and Yankees, a 1.5 run line, +159 if you want to lay it with the Mariners, who currently lead 1-0. Total 3.5. Shaded to the under at $1.35. Mariners, a $2.08 favorite over at DraftKings. And Red Sox, Blue Jays. Red Sox currently up in the second inning. They are about $1.66 favorite, +144. We talked about Scherzer maybe getting some of his stuff together early going, maybe not so much. Red Sox, again, $1.66 favorite on the road. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll have Cubs and Nationals. We'll rehash that in a few minutes as also we look at the game between the Phillies and the Twins before we get you out of here and onto some of the best bets in the NFL preseason. Speaking of which, a couple of news and notes in the NFL preseason before we get to some of the betting trends we have coming out over the last few hours. Official, didn't think that this was going to be a big secret, but head coach Joe Brady of the Buffalo Bills said today that quarterback Josh Allen and all of their healthy starters will play in a limited capacity in Saturday's home preseason opener versus the Carolina Panthers. It seemed like maybe that is the direction that they were heading in terms of playing some of the starters. Again, we don't know the entire role, but we do know that they're going to be out there. Buffalo, a 2.5-point favorite at multiple spots, 3 here at Circa with a total of 39 against Carolina. Panthers, as we know, dealing with some injuries. Haven't had full clarity on what's going to happen with the Panthers, but worth noting again, Josh Allen and the healthy starters will play limited capacity, is the quote, in Saturday's home preseason opener versus the Carolina Panthers. Speaking of Saturday as well, quarterback Caleb Williams of the Chicago Bears will not play in Saturday's preseason opener against the Browns per Ben Johnson. Tyson Bagent will start for Chicago. This is an interesting one because for a while, remember Cooper Rush was like the preseason darling. He had done very well in the preseason, and I think Tyson Bagent potentially could be that sort of a player for you in the preseason. We have seen him in 3 seasons now so far. Preseason numbers have been pretty good. 67% completion, 7.1 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions over the course of 3 preseasons, and 141 dropbacks in those preseasons. He has yet to commit a turnover-worthy play, 2 interceptions in his time as a preseason starter. So Bagent, one of those guys that is probably going to be one of those higher-end starting quarterbacks that you're going to see in these preseason contests. Worth noting that he will get the start for Chicago on Saturday against the Cleveland Browns. That number in favor of Chicago right now, in favor of Cleveland, I should say, a 3-point spread or 3.5, but mostly 3s across the board, total 40.5. We know 2 for Cleveland, as it has been noted, but for those maybe that missed it, we are going to see Deshaun Watson get the start. Shedeur Sanders will follow after him. Let's go to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, not going to play in Saturday's preseason game per Andy Reid. Justin Fields, Garrett Nussmeier, and Chris Oladokun will split snaps. Again, don't know the dynamic there. I tend to lean towards some of these primary, secondary, and backup quarterbacks not getting as much of a run. Again, here are your backups for a reason. You want them to be healthy as well. And especially with Fields and the Chiefs, that's going to be a really interesting dynamic. I know that the expectation and everything that has been reported is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be ready to go for the start of the season. But considering the injury he's coming off of, one would think that you're probably going to be pretty careful with Justin Fields as well, just because you don't want him dinged up as you head into the regular season. Chiefs, though, a 2.5-point favorite against the Los Angeles Rams, total of 36.5. Rams, one of those teams that we have discussed as in the midst of a quarterback battle, not for the starting position, but for the backup. And you do wonder what that means from a play-calling standpoint or anything else for the Rams once they get out there with those guys. But right now, belief, at least in the market, is that the Chiefs getting bet up from 1.5-point favorite to a 2.5-point favorite. No Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City. And for New Orleans, Spencer Rattler is going to start Saturday's preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, according to Kellen Moore today. So that's also worth pointing out for New Orleans, as they will protect their guy Tyler Shuck and allow him maybe to get a little bit of run later. Let's see. New Orleans, as it stands, is a 1.5-point favorite, total of 35.5 against Jacksonville on Saturday. No clarity on what's going on with Jacksonville either. Haven't really dug into it, though. But the Saints, a 1.5-point favorite. Rattler played really well. And so you would think that, too, you're in pretty good form if you're New Orleans, if Rattler can get out there and play at some length here. So that's the update. We should also note for New Orleans, this is actually somewhat big news because we've talked about the Offensive Rookie of the Year market quite a bit in many different shows. Our programs here on the network have brought it up, obviously. Love the futures. But one of the potential contenders for Offensive Rookie of the Year suffering an injury for New Orleans. But news today, Jordan Tyson, 8th overall pick of the 2026 NFL Draft, exited with an apparent leg injury, did not return. Tyson is 6-1 over at DraftKings to win Offensive Player of the Year. I brought him up when we talked about New Orleans There's a lot of different questions I have about this team, and Tyson, I think, was one of them. But if he was going to work, I thought it was going to work out pretty well. And you can make the argument that Tyson and the way that he is priced, considering that I think Fernando Mendoza is a little mispriced as the second shot on the board with Carnell Tate at plus 550 because he's just not going to play to start the year. Could have made the case that Tyson was one of those guys that's going to really thrive in this offense. But right now, with an injury, we do not know what's going to happen there. So we'll keep our eye on everything transpiring with Tyson in the injury at this point. So with that, NFL preseason has a lot of different ways that you can look at this thing, right? We talked a lot about coaches and the way that they handle certain things. Certain coaches have the way they want to handle their preseason matchups in terms of the desire to win a game, potentially, right? We've talked about this when it comes to Kubiak, for example, and how he might actually look at something like this and go, you know what? I want to establish a regime, and I want to go out there, and I want to win as much as possible to start my regime out here in Las Vegas. So you'll see some head coaches really try hard to win some of these games, especially when they're taking over. You'll look at certain things as well when it comes to totals and some of the trends that you'll see. But some betting systems are out there for the NFL preseason. And Steve Mackinnon has done a really good job over at Visa.com compiling some of the preseason betting systems that you'll have. And it goes back to some of the many things that you'll get as part of a Visa Pro subscription. I wanted to cherry pick a couple of these. All of them are somewhat listed, but don't want to give away the whole thing. But Mackinnon's write-up has been really good. So I wanted to start with a couple of these. One of the ones that I thought was the most interesting was, as he puts it, line ranges having kind of proven to be telling at this point right now. And as he puts it in the article, leading bettors to water via some of these line moves. Since 2010, there have been 18 teams that have been favored by more than 7 points. Only 11 of those heavy favorites won their games outright, and they were just 6-12 ATS, covering just 33% of those contests. Now, at the same time, favorites in what Mackinnon calls the sweet spot, range of 3.5-7, have been reliable, 161, 136, and 4 against the spread. That's a cover rate of 54.2%. Most games tend to land, as he puts it, in the -1 to -3 range. Those contests are where the underdogs really thrive. Since 2015, dogs catching 1 to 3 points in the preseason, 190, 128 against the spread, good for 59.7%. If you go back to that last angle, underdogs in 2024, 10-10 against the spread, less successful than usual, as he puts, but the favorites in those games covered by 22.5 points per game, so covered with relative ease. Tonight, as you look at the card, you got quite a few teams that are in that range of the sweet spot, right? Green Bay, a 2.5-point favorite over the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. Indianapolis, depending on where you shop, a 2.5-point favorite, but upwards of 3. Chargers laying 1.5 tonight against the Houston Texans. Vegas now up to a 3.5-point favorite, so kind of getting out of that range. And then the Titans are 5.5, 6, so out of that range as well. But maybe looking towards some of these dogs to stay inside of these short numbers, potentially against some of their opponents, like Pittsburgh against Green Bay and New England against Indianapolis. But the Cincinnati one is going to be pretty interesting because this would tell you they're right outside of that sweet spot range when you're talking about the 7-point spread. If you were larger than 7, then maybe the Bengals would fail to cover this number if this trend holds true. But I kind of look at this and think you're a little too strong, as we have discussed many times with Cincinnati today, but falling just outside of that trend, according to Mackinnon and what he's looking at for some of these betting systems. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and again, there's 10 of these things for these preseason betting concepts for you to check out at VSiN.com that Mackinnon has put out there. But if you look at some of the other things that we look, one of the other ones that stuck out, teams coming off of double-digit losses. Bad bets at home, good on the road. Double-digit games, noteworthy indicators of the performance of a losing team in the follow-up game. When these teams have played at home the following week in the preseason, so losing by double digits, they've gone 42-58 against the spread since 2013. When they face their next contest on the road, 61-43 ATS, 58.7%. So maybe a little bit of an over-adjustment when heading on the road after a big loss. 8 more of those up at VSiN.com. Make sure you check those out. On the other side, 2 preseason bets and a look at the Field of Dreams game as we wrap up the MLB card and more before we get you out to Follow the Money coming up next.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Last couple of minutes here on Money Moves. Justin, you probably have this printed on a piece of paper, so I'm not going to ask that question. I'm just going to flip and say yes. Paulie Howard and Mark Melusis are coming up next on Follow the Money. I hear that Paul Howard asked the question yesterday, which sports franchise would you like to own, after the news came down to the Los Angeles Lakers in a totally above-the-surface great sell here that had nothing to do with anything else whatsoever. It's very topical, and I think that's a really great topic, so I can't wait to hear what Paul has to say with Mark coming up. Dan Lieberfeld is going to join him, New York Jets insider. I got to tell you, speaking of Lieberfeld and the Jets, I don't think I'm crazy, and it sounds like I'm not that crazy. I hold two thoughts in the National Football League this year that at the initial point when I formed these thoughts felt somewhat insane, but I feel better about one of them than I do the other. One of them is my somewhat love of the Cleveland Browns, and I'm getting such pushback on my love for the Cleveland Browns that I'm actually going to kind of dig in a little bit more. Kelly and Gil this morning were appalled by my thought that maybe the Browns could potentially go over their win total, as is Stormy, but Stormy has a win total under on the Cleveland Browns. But the other is that the Jets are, like, I think, low-key talented, and not a lot of people really think that, but I do think the Jets can be a somewhat surprising team. We can talk a little bit more about that, and you can check out why I think that is the case, because I wrote up the AFC East as part of the NFL Betting Guide. Check it out over at VSiN.com/subscribe. And speaking of checking things out, make sure you check out all the podcasts that we have to offer. Pod of the Future's off this week, because I was off this week, as is Mitch, but we will be back next week, one would assume, unless Mitch has some issues that he runs into, because I'm not doing it without my pal, Mitch Moss. All right, with that, let's clean up the baseball card. A couple of other games we didn't get to, including the Field of Dreams contest that we will see later today. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Minnesota Twins. Producer Justin, very excited. Aaron Nola out in the cornfield out there in Dyersville. First game since 2022 out in Dyersville. Cubs beat the Reds 4-2 in that game. Weather, sounds like it's going to be wet. Sounds like it's going to be humid. 91% humidity, 99% rate of... Now, okay, here's the thing. When you see 99% precipitation, that doesn't mean it's a 99% chance of precipitation. That means it's going to cover 99% of the area, correct? Okay, so we just want to put that out there. Looks like it's going to rain, folks. And it's going to be wet. It's going to be muggy, 72 degrees. We'll see if the scoring is affected. One would assume that maybe it's going to be a little bit of a lower scoring affair between these two, just considering the weather that you're seeing, at least on its surface. We saw the overnight of 9. Now it's 8.5. So market would generally agree that maybe we're going to get a lower scoring affair out there in Iowa. Phillies, though, are going to send out one Aaron Nola. We know who Aaron Nola is. Hasn't really gone great for Nola. Last start versus Toronto was solid. 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 earned runs. One of them was a homer. 8 strikeouts to 2 walks. But one of the things that has stuck out about Nola's profile so far this year is my man is giving up dongs left and right. I mean, you look at this, a 19% home run to fly ball ratio this year. Over 2 home runs every 9 innings. Barrel rates over 10%. Hard hit rates over 41%. He's allowed at least one home run in 6 straight outings and 10 of 11 starts. So Nola's got a long ball issue. Maybe it dries up here today in some damp settings out there in Iowa. And since June 13th, 18 home runs in 59 innings of work. That's a home run to fly ball ratio of 23.4%. Nearly a quarter of the fly balls that he is allowing are going out of the park over this stretch, which is absolute insanity. And a home run, a 6.10 FIP over that stretch. FIP kind of tied into what you're giving up in terms of home runs. So we have seen this from Nola being a little bit of a problem. Maybe again today in this setting, it doesn't really hit him as hard. 3.76 ERA for Taj Bradley, who's going to get the start out there. Bradley's been the model of consistency for the most part. We saw yesterday when I had that first 5 play on the Phillies that did not get through, laid the half run there, that the offense has been scuffling along a little bit. Bradley, though, like I mentioned, what you see is what you get almost every single time out. 3.76 ERA, 3.88 expected, 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, and 2 walks last time out against Milwaukee. At 9, shaded to the under minus not 119. That was the overnight price. Think you could play that under. Would lean under 8.5 as well, given what we've seen. Don't know how this game is going to get played, but you could see, too, from a pricing standpoint, Philly's getting a little bit of play here. Had the Twins overnight as a minus 118 favorite with Bradley out there. That was at Circa. Now we're looking at minus 107, minus 105 split for Circa here. So Philly's getting a little bit of play on a neutral out in Iowa. I think you can understand why you would put it in that direction, and I think this is generally where you probably should be here, and I think the park really helps out. By the way, dimensions for the park, for those who don't know, pretty average ballpark when you look at it. 335, 400, and 335 left, center, and right. So not one of those ballparks where I think it was the first Field of Dream game, Field of Dreams game, that went kind of ham in terms of the scoring. This one seems to be a pretty average park, and with the damp nature of the weather, maybe you're going to get a pretty average game in terms of scoring between these two. So nothing really strong there. And I think that's it. I think we covered pretty much everything. Worth pointing out, Rangers and Angels, too. I think we went through this relatively quickly. But this is the only other game in the American League that has yet to start. They are seeing a little bit of action here, minus 154 in favor of DeGrom right now. That opened up minus 156, so a slight push in favor of Urania and the Angels here in this one. 8 shaded to the over at minus 115. This is where you've seen the biggest movement. This actually is now 7.5 shaded to the under at minus 120. So some belief here that maybe we're going to get a low-scoring affair between the two. But with that, let's hit some best bets. NFL preseason, 2 games that we like here, that I like here. One of them, like, this is the nature of betting these preseason games. These things move really quickly. Let's start with Cardinals and Raiders because this has been one of the big moves of the day. This was moving while we were talking with Matt Humans, actually. So I don't know if maybe there was somebody out there in the market that got some bit of information on how the Raiders are going to handle things. But the Raiders are now up to a 3.5-point favorite. You see the number here that was earlier today. They were 2.5-point favorite with a total of 41.5. But they are laying that full field goal. We should reiterate, again, in these preseason games, key numbers are not as key, so you don't have to freak out. You know, if you want to lay a number here, take a number that it's sitting on some of these key numbers. Because remember, in situations in which these teams can tie games, whatever it be, extra point, 2-point conversion, field goal, they're not going to attempt to do that. They don't want to go to overtime. So you don't really fall on some of these numbers as often in these preseason settings. But Las Vegas led a 0.5 in the first half with this group. We talked about it with Gil and Kelly earlier today. But as we were talking with Matt, that thing really spiked up. They're about to a 2.5-point favorite in the first half, total 22.5. The logic here being, and I think the market is thinking the same thing, I think Clint Kubiak wants to win this game. And I think, like we saw with Josh McDaniels in his early tenure with the Las Vegas Raiders, and sometimes you see from some of these head coaches that are establishing new regimes or a first time, they want to start winning, whether it means preseason games that are meaningless or whatever it is. I think you're going to see that from Kubiak and the Raiders today. You're going to see the starters play. You're going to see Fernando Mendoza. And I think Mendoza is going to get a good opportunity playing behind the starting offensive line, later today too. So I think it makes a ton of sense that you're going to look at the Raiders in the first half. Currently at 2.5, wouldn't say no to it still, given the information. We should point out that the Cardinals are going to play their starters here as well. Jacoby Brissett and Jeremiah Love will be out there. 2 notable names for him as well, some other starters. And for the game, wouldn't say no generally to the Cardinals, but I think the game going over is really what's going to be interesting. Market really bet this thing up in totality. We saw this open today. We saw this total open in this contest at about 39.5 up to 41.5. Think about the back end of these depth charts too. We have guys that have played some pretty good football, whether it's in the preseason, Carson Beck, or whether it's in the regular season or generally have a good length of time playing in the regular season, Aiden O'Connell. So one would expect that you're going to get some run here, maybe some points scored. Total's been bet up. I think a lot of that has to do with the starters playing as well for both of these teams. The other two took 7 with the Detroit Lions. Again, this is the best number available. It's widely available across the board. Matt Humans was with us earlier. Check that out wherever you get your podcast. Money moves in the first hour. Like, rate, review, subscribe would be greatly appreciated. I just think that when you looked at the opening number of Cincinnati -3.5, Zach Taylor, we brought this up last Wednesday. Zach Taylor told us in media availability, us being the people, America, that he was going to play his starters. And so the Bengals open up as 3.5-point favorites. I think that told us that the Bengals were going to play their starters. And then that thing gets bet up. He says he's going to play the starters, gets bet up even further. 7 for a full game when, yes, the starters are going to play, but we don't know what the role is going to be. Burrow's going to be out there. Is he just going to hand it off for multiple series and get out maybe with one pass attempt? You just don't know what it's going to be like. I think a lot of this, too, has to do with 2 things. First off, Bengals have been a slow-starting team, as everybody knows, so maybe that's a little baked into this, that they want to get off to a good start, although they did in the regular season last year. The other is the quarterback position for the Lions seems to be a little bit of a mess on paper. Josh Dobbs has been in the building for a couple of days. Luke Altmyer comes in, untested rookie, as we know. Humans mentioned he didn't really like him that much, but I just think I'm willing to push back on the number here. I just think we've gone a little too far. I thought initially when you saw that opener of 3.5, that we were in a position that, yeah, that's factored in. And now we've gone a bridge too far with these starters playing. By the way, again, first half line, 6.5 in favor of Cincinnati. Game line, 7. Seems a little out of whack. Other game of note, we should just point out line moves for today. Green Bay up to a 3-point favorite today against Pittsburgh. Total of 40.5 there. And Indianapolis now up to a 3-point favorite. Multiple spots, actually almost everywhere. We'll call that the consensus number. Total of 37.5 against New England. They, being the Patriots, not going to be playing their starters today. The Colts will start Anthony Richardson, and Riley Leonard will play the second half. But that's one of the big movers of the day as well, as we've seen the Colts get up to a full field goal favorite on the road against New England. That does it for us here on Money Moves. We'll be back tomorrow. Fantastic show on tap. Coming up next, Dan Leberfeld, one of the great guests for Polly Howard and Mark Malusis, who will take you for the next 3 hours heading into prime time. You're in great hands. The shows are fantastic. Our crew behind the scenes is fantastic, save for some certain people. I'm just kidding. You're all fantastic. And we'll talk to you tomorrow here on Money Moves.